The particular piece of armor that we're looking at tonight is the shield of faith. And it's most appropriate that we look at that piece as we approach the supper of our Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, once again that we can come at the end of the Lord's Day and celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ here at the table that he has given. And we are mindful, Father, as we consider this table, that he is the one who instituted it for us and gave it to represent his broken body and shed blood on our behalf. And we ask that as we come to the table, that you would send your Holy Spirit and stir up our faith and increase our faith, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith continually, that we may think of him continually and remember him always in every situation we face. Tonight, as we consider this particular piece of equipment of the gospel armor with which we go forth to do battle against sin and Satan, we ask that you would teach us what it is and then enable us to use it as we should for the benefit of standing firm, being faithful, being strong in the Lord and the strength of his might each day as we go out into the world and bear the name of Jesus Christ with us. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. Help us to believe in the atonement of Jesus every day, in his resurrection every day, and grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ as a result. In his blessed name we pray. Amen. Well, we're coming to this piece of armor in the gospel armor, the armor of God, that is called the shield of faith. And I want to remind you of what we have already looked at. Paul has exhorted us in verse 10 and 11 to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, to not depend upon ourselves for strength, our own abilities, our own wisdom, our own willpower, Though we are to exercise every ounce of energy we have to fight the good fight of faith, we depend upon God to strengthen us. We believe in His strength and that He is the one who is able to keep us from falling, not we ourselves. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And secondly, put on the full armor of God. We must put on the full armor, not part of the armor, not a piece or two, not all of it but one, but rather all of it, as he lists it here, the full armor of God, that we may be able to resist in the evil day, that is, to resist this one who is called Satan. This one who was once an angel of God, holy and righteous, who went in and out before the face of God and saw him with eyes we have not yet used, things we have not yet seen. And he looked full in the face of God and decided that this God was not worthy to be worshipped, but rather to be rejected and turned away. This one who has hated this God. This one named Satan, who now in the wilderness of this world seeks to devour all those who are God's out of pure vindictiveness and hatred. To destroy Christ and his work is his chief desire. And he is at war. And the battleground is the hearts of men, both unconverted and converted. And he comes against God's people in ways that are called schemes and wiles. And if we do not have the full armor of God and depend on the strength of the Lord, we cannot resist in the evil day. All of these pieces must be worn. We have seen the belt of truth in verse 14, that truth is the foundation of our lives, not feeling, not majority vote and opinion, but that God's word is true, and God is true though every man be found to be a liar. We have committed our lives to true truth, the one who has said, I am the truth. And we build the foundation of our lives with that belt of truth that provides the foundation for our torso to make us be able to lift heavy objects and to go on long battle walks. Truth is the foundation of the Christian life. And then there is the breastplate of righteousness, which we have seen is that, I believe, that imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is his perfect life, which God has given to us as a gift to cover our hearts and to make us acceptable before God and to protect us from a killing blow that would wound our hearts and cause our hearts to fail. Always being able to stand before a holy God covered with the righteousness of one who is perfect, the righteousness of another, is a great piece of equipment for the battle that we face. And last week we saw that we shoe our feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. That is, the shoes that we wear are themselves the gospel of peace. Special gospel shoes that we walk upon so that we can stand firm and go on long walks and marches and not easily be knocked off balance. The gospel of peace, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The battle is over. Our war with God is ended. A truce has been declared at the cost of the death of God's only dear Son for our soul, knowing that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ at all times of the day and night and week, is one of the great comforts to the Christian's heart that enables us to have peace while everything else about us seems chaotic. And then there is that peace that passes understanding that comes through believing in the gospel of peace, that special peace. That though you do not understand everything, God does. The God who is at peace with you. Now we come to the shield of faith. And there are two things that I'd like to explain about this shield of faith. The imagery of the shield, or the picture of the shield, if you will. And then the meaning of the shield of faith as we approach the Lord's Supper. Now, boys and girls, the whole picture here of this armor is really likely that of a Roman soldier as he went out to battle, dressed with his helmet, his belt, his sword, his breastplate, his shield. And the shield of a Roman soldier was a very large shield. It was usually about 4 feet high and about 2.5 feet wide. It wasn't a little round shield you just carry on your forearm. It was a large shield. In fact, the word for shield is sometimes used of the word door. It looked like a door. It was so big. And this shield of the Roman soldier was often made of wood and covered with metal. Not all those who had shields in that day had metal over their shields. But the Roman soldier did, and it was a heavy object. He had to lift it up and hold it when necessary. And Paul says here that we are to take up the shield of faith with which we will be able to extinguish all of the flaming missiles or the fiery darts of the evil one. And in that day, there were spears and arrows that were thrown or shot at the Roman soldiers. And sometimes those spears or arrows were dipped in pitch in the tip and lit so that they were on fire as they went toward the Roman soldiers. Or they were wrapped tightly on the end with some flammable material so that it would scare the Roman soldiers when they saw these arrows of fire coming at them. It would unsettle them. It would not only wound the soldier, but burn fiery darts that came upon him. Either the metal would protect the arrow or the spear from actually wounding the soldier, or because it was metal and the impact was so harsh, sometimes the flame of the arrow or the spear was doused upon the impact with the metal shield. And so Paul said, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming missiles of the evil one. When the missiles of Satan upon our soul strike the shield of faith, they cannot penetrate. And their power is doused. What does this mean, though, for the Christian? Secondly, what's the meaning of this imagery, this shield of faith? Well, first of all, there is an evil one who shoots fiery darts. As I said, he was once an angel of God. The book of Revelation teaches how he rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven to earth, and then how he tempted Eve and Adam into sin, seeking to destroy God's work, God's creation. 1 Peter says that Satan is a roaring lion, prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him, he said, and he will flee. He is not God. Satan is not. He is a powerful being, but he's not God. He cannot be everywhere at once. And what seems to happen in our lives is that there are seasons when Satan comes and goes in his strength. You may say, what in the world is Fred talking about? Well, I'm talking about the two pastors now that I'm talking with by phone who are experiencing this very thing. As they step into the pulpit to preach, evil thoughts of many different kinds attacking their mind, trying to confuse them so that they cannot speak the word of God. fiery darts. I believe John Bunyan and Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones had their best understanding or the best understanding of what these fiery darts are. They are, most of all, those burning evil thoughts that suddenly shoot through the mind of the Christian to bring him or her into despair or fear or worry or sin. They are the thoughts which you hate and know are wrong, that you long to be free of, yet suddenly they seem to come from within. They are there. They're the kind of thoughts which make you wonder, how can I be a Christian and think like this or feel like this? And Lloyd-Jones said that there are certain times when these fiery darts seem to come, like when you wake up in the morning, when your mind is not yet in gear and is not clear, and there are sudden evil thoughts and sin and sinful thoughts that enter into your mind when you're not even really thinking yet. There are those fiery darts that come sometimes in prayer or worship, where ungodly thoughts and temptations push in that just astonish you. Where did that come from? Why is that there? How can I think of that at a time like this? In Bible study, fiery darts to distract you from one thing to the next so that you cannot focus on God's Word. You can read the newspaper all day long, but a chapter of the Bible just to meditate? How hard work that is at times. Sudden doubts and fears that enter in, almost as a cold wind breezes through your soul and you shiver. What if God is not real? What if all of this is not true? What if we're all fools? What if there is no God? What if He is not good? What if there is no truth? That unsettle the soul, then blasphemous thoughts about God and the Lord Jesus Christ, things that you would never think, never want to say in public, but somehow the thoughts are formed in your mind and it just shocks you that they're there. Sometimes terrible language. Sometimes after many years of conquering a sinful, filthy humor, suddenly in a situation, an evil thought, an evil humor, and filthy language pop into your head, things that you used to say every day that you haven't said for 20 years, and suddenly they're there. Where does that stuff come from? They're fiery darts meant to surprise and unsettle the Christian. Strong desires or passions or lusts stirring up some remaining sin, something you haven't struggled with in a long time, and suddenly the power of it is felt in the temptation. Or during persecutions, Lloyd-Jones said, fiery trials when the Christian begins to wonder, why is God purifying my faith this way? Why does it have to be so hard? Isn't anything easy anymore in the Christian life? Is God really good? Is this really working? Is this really worth it? Fiery darts coming upon the soul. One day you're free of them, the next day they ambush you. As Satan prowls about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan described this time as the valley of the shadow of death. It was a time so dark that he could not see. Sin was to the right of him. Sin was to the left of him. And confusion was like a cloud hanging over the valley. And all he could do was place one foot in front of the other, though he could not see where the foot would land. Now, you may not have gone through such fiery darts and times, but I know some of you have. And you need to understand what to do. And you need to understand what to do in case you go through such trials, such fiery darts passing into the soul. And the answer of Ephesians 6 is that you take up the shield of faith with which you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to have faith in your faith. It doesn't mean to have faith in your spiritual maturity and ability. It doesn't mean that you try to work up within yourself a faith so strong that you're just unaffected by the fiery darts of Satan. No faith, no human faith, even as a gift of God, will be that perfect and that purified upon earth that it itself becomes the object of one's faith. I know. How many times I've heard people stand in an assembly of God's people saying, I know that I will never fall away. I've heard that. You can count on me. And yet, there they went. My faith is strong, they said. You can count on me. I know myself. The shield of faith is not our faith. The shield of faith is faith, weak or strong faith, exercised in the proper object. Faith never looks to itself for strength. It always looks to God in Christ. It is the weak hand that takes hold of a strong Christ. The shield of faith is the ability, said Lloyd-Jones, to apply quickly what we believe about God in Christ to everything Satan does. Let me repeat that. The shield of faith is the ability to apply quickly what we believe about God in Christ to everything Satan does. Faith is always fleeing to Christ and His words. Here is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. And we read in Hebrews, by faith from weakness they were made strong. By faith. They were weak when they began to exercise that faith. But by exercising faith, they became strong. How do you do that? Well, let's say Satan accuses you of sin. If he's right, you repent and flee into the arms of a Savior that shed His blood for your soul. If Satan is accusing you of sinning when you have not, you can flee into the arms of a Savior who has shed His blood for your soul. When enemies come upon you and you find hatred and bitterness and anger arising in your heart, you can flee to the cross where God quenched His anger against your soul. And by faith, believe that again and let go of bitterness and anger against your enemy and love them instead. When the circumstances of your life become worrisome and fearful and anxious and you do not know which way to turn and you cannot see ahead or behind or where your foot is going to land in the next step, can flee to an empty tomb and by faith believe that he is not there because he is risen. And he is reigning and he is watching over your soul. And by faith be encouraged and press on. When you're in despair and hopeless and do not understand what is happening or why it's happening, there is the death of Christ to believe in again, that God has not forsaken you and will not forsake those to whom he has pledged his love with the blood of his Son. And then there is the resurrection, which tells us that no matter how despairing and hopeless it looks to you, it's all clear to God. For the night is as bright as the day, said David to God. We take up the shield of faith. Not faith in ourselves, not faith in our faith, but we take up what God said to Abraham, and we believe it again when he said, Abraham, I am a shield to you. God is our hope. And it is faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us that gives us hope. It is likely that if you have never had an attack of the fiery darts of the evil one, that you will. And I seriously doubt that any true Christian has never had such fiery darts at one time or the other. Strong temptations, fearful feelings, worries, anxieties that seem so overwhelming, evil thoughts that you hate, things of all kinds that Satan is firing to wound God's warriors and cause them to fall in battle. If you do not take up the shield of faith at those times and once again believe in the death of Christ for your soul and his resurrection for your life and stand upon the grounds that God has given you and lift up the shield of faith, there is no way you can extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. We must always go back to that which we first believed in order to fight the fight of faith every day. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. And we come to the Lord's Supper tonight to remind us of what we are to place faith in. We're to place our faith in one who is no longer here in body, but he's left for us a token of bread to remind us over and over again of what he did for our souls. That the security of our souls and the assurance of our hearts is not based upon what we are and what we have done or how much faith we have, but in his power to save us and all who come to him in faith. And we have before us a cup that represents the shed blood that he spilled upon the cross, which the apostles call the blood that cleanses from all sin, assuring us and promising us that if we will but come to God, the worst sins and the most evil thoughts and the greatest struggles of the heart that sometime have bordered on unbelief can be forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. And by God's grace, his renewed and continual grace, a new start can begin. We're called to believe to believe again and take up the shield of faith. And I pray tonight as you take the Lord's Supper and you see the physical emblems of what Christ has done for sinners upon the cross, that he is not here because he is risen, that you will take up these truths as your own again. And when Satan comes with his fiery darts, apply them again and again and again. Taking up the shield of faith with which we may be able to extinguish all, not some, all of the flaming missiles of the evil one. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that you have not left us alone in this world, but have equipped us with everything we need to fight the good fight of faith, to press on in the earthly kingdom that we may enter the heavenly kingdom. And we ask that tonight, as we take the supper of the Lord together, that you would once again seal to our hearts by faith his blood and righteousness, his death and resurrection, so that we can have all of the equipment we need to defeat the enemy of our souls. Strengthen our faith, we pray, as we take up this shield of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.